This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Lin. This time of year, many of us make an extra effort to reach out to those in need. Maybe it's stuffing some money in the Salvation Army bucket, or looking out for the homeless, some of whom appear as regulars on the streets of Center City, Philadelphia. Less obvious are the needs of homeless children in our schools. They assume the posture of kids who want to learn and who want to be accepted, but those things are not that easy to do without some help. So says Stacey Havlick. She's a professor at Villanova University in the Department of Education and Counseling. She researches the role school personnel, mostly counselors, have in helping homeless students. She joins us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Stacey, tell us a little bit about who these kids are and about some of the issues they face.
So homelessness can look very different depending on the circumstance for a student. It could be a student who's doubled up with another family, which tends to be the vast majority of students who are homeless, and that means that they're living with other families. So they could be living in an apartment with three other families because of a loss of housing. Second biggest population of students who are homeless are those who are living in shelters. But then there's also students who maybe they're living in motels, hotels, or trailer parks. They could be living on the streets because they lack other housing.
And the things they're facing, some things are emotional, some things are, tangibles.
So they have a wide range of needs, and I think it's important to know that not every student has the same experiences. So it depends on what their circumstances are. In general, students have emotional issues, so anxiety, depression. Students who are homeless often face victimization, whether it's direct or indirect. So they may witness abuse or be a victim of abuse. But related to their academics, because of those emotional issues and that inconsistency, they also face high absences, because they're transient and may not be able to get to school regularly. So it can be difficult for a range of issues for students to feel like they fit into school.
Mm-hmm. Now, by law, these kids are entitled to support services at the public schools they attend. Tell us about their legal rights and what schools are supposed to do for them, with them, so they can thrive in the classroom.
Sure. The McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act was put in place, and it was recently revised under the Every Student Succeeds Act, as recent as 2015. McKinney-Vento removes the barriers that students face in terms of enrolling, succeeding, and attending school. In terms of enrollment, students who are homeless are often transient. When you go to a new school, you have to have an immunization record, your academic records. And so if you're in a homeless circumstance, it's likely that you're not carrying a folder with all of those records around. And so they may have a hard time getting into a new school. In terms of attendance, if you're transient, it may be difficult to get transportation to school, and so it's hard to get students into the school. And then last, in terms of success, because of the attendance and because of the difficulty enrolling, they could experience discontinuity in their education, so they may be jumping from school to school or missing a lot of school. McKinney-Vento has programs in place that meet those areas. Another piece of McKinney-Vento is that every school is required to have a person called a local liaison, and that person makes sure that the requirements under McKinney-Vento are met.
Are schools meeting the need?
Some would say that McKinney-Vento is aspirational in nature. There are certainly schools that make it work really well, but other schools, because of limited budgets or maybe lack of knowledge, have a harder time to make it work. It's interesting because the role of the liaison is important, and they have all these roles to ensure that this legislation is being met. The vast majority of liaisons are only working 0 to 10 hours on the role of the liaison. So it's not necessarily a full-time role.
Stacey, your research spells out best practices for these liaisons who are often counselors. What are they most capable of accomplishing?
What they're doing well is finding resources. So one of the individuals that I interviewed in my research had this concept of creating a warm handoff, meaning that you don't just have a resource for a student and you direct them there, but you build that relationship with the resource beforehand. For example, maybe you have a church who runs an after-school program, or they collect donations, and you form the relationship with that program before you need it, so that if a student comes and they have a need, that you can warmly hand them off to that individual.
Your research also shows that it's important for liaisons to build partnerships with school social workers and administrators to identify homeless students who may fly under the radar. Maybe they keep their situation quiet due to stigma, or they don't even identify as homeless, as in the cases where they're living with other families. Once these kids are detected by a school, is it too late to offer services?
It's certainly never too late. And I think that's one of the critical pieces, is making sure that students are identified and so that everyone in the school knows the definition of homelessness and that it's not just that vision of someone living in the shelter or in the street. I think really one of the main pieces to consider when you're working with homeless youth is that the more consistency we can give them, the better. The more we can get them to school, the more we can keep them in school, the more success they can have. Because school is that critical component where they can get supportive services, they can have consistency, they can have healthy food. So if we can keep them at one school, that's really critical.